You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Pacers fans, welcome into this Thursday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News, as well as over at 8 Points 9 Seconds, where we are doing Pacers History Week. So come look at some fun stuff we got going on there. There won't be a ton of articles, but still some fun blasts from the past stuff from the team. Anyway, so this is the last show of August and the last fan show. I hope you guys have enjoyed the content we've been able to produce in August. It's a lot harder with no basketball and football taking over the news cycle. The fan shows have been really fun. We've enjoyed doing them. This is the last one, and I think we got everybody who reached out, with the exception of two people who I'd like to give a mention to right now. One is Quinn Haney at Quincy underscore Adams, Z and Adams. Timing just didn't work out. The other one is Corey Anderson at Corey Anderson 1, Corey with a K, and Anderson has two E's in it for the vowels, and a one on the end. But Corey is moving, first of all, so congratulations to him for moving. I don't know what the reasoning is. I should have asked, but that's usually exciting. But he messaged me the question he wanted to ask if he was able to come on the show and wasn't hindered by life. He said, which former Pacer from any era would you want to have on the team today? And with that player, how far could the team go this season? So, you know what's funny is I try not to prep for like random questions. I've told you guys this for mailbags before and things like this. And I'm going to pretend like he was with me while this was happening and I wasn't prepared for the question. So I really didn't think about it at all. I really just read it. He literally just popped up another message. It's 9:27 right now. Corey, look at your phone. You're in Minnesota according to your location. So 8:27 for you, I promise. He literally just popped up. He said, was thinking Reggie's off the table because that's too easy. And he said he's guessing I would do someone at the three or the one. He's correct, because my gut reaction answer is actually Paul George, which is hilarious. And if you listen later in the show, I actually talk about Paul George and the current team. But anyway, PG is going to be one of the best historic guys for the current team, just given how good he is, both defending the wing, shooting the three, as a shot creator. Basically everything they would need to surround Victor Oladipo and Miles Turner with another good defender and shot creator is Paul George, which it kind of sucks that he's the answer, but he might be the answer. So Paul George might be was my gut reaction. Then I thought Dale Davis, again, Rick Smits. A lot of these ABA guys are post players. Don Buse would be a good choice. Don Buse from the ABA / NBA days. Really good defender, really good passer. 6 All-NBA teams in a row back in the 70s. Was one of the best ABA dudes at all, or just in general. Really good passer as well. Indiana high school basketball legend, too. He would be awesome just for the defense at the one and the passing. Granger would be a great, great secondary creator, too, and scorer, but his defense, unfortunately, wouldn't really work out. Kind of going to rule out J.O. again for the post stuff. Don't want to just have too many big plotter lineups. So really what it comes down to for me is like, you have, if I am going with a one or a three, like you said, I think those are the two positions that the upgrade would be the most impactful. At point guard, look at like some of the best point guards in Pacers history. Oof. This list is not super great. Besides Buse would be like Tinsley and Mark Jackson and anyone from the 80s. Isn't really going to be the best choice. So I think if I had to go the one, I'd go with Mark Jackson, but I don't think he'd help a ton, especially now that the 5-second back down rule exists. So if I'm going to go with the three, I'm just going to go with PG. Because I can't go with Reggie, I'm going to go with PG just for his defense and shot creation on the wing. So that is a fun question to kick off the show. But now let's actually get into the fan show part. We got some fun ones today for the final show. Corey, thank you for sending me a question. And guys, again, hope you enjoyed the fan shows. We'll be back next week to do our last weekly show of the summer, and then we'll start off with our player previews. So if you have a way you want us to structure those player previews or anything, let us know. But yeah, let's just jump right into the fan shows with Zach Pearson. So here we go. All right, guys, we have another fan show here, and I got to tell you, the next guy on is one of the biggest fans of the show. I know that because we've played Fortnite together, chatted on Twitter before. Overall, great dude. He wanted us to make shirts for the show one time. We really should have followed through on that. Zach Pearson on Twitter at Zach A. Pearson. How are you doing, man? How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Glad to finally have you on after all the times we've spoken.
Yeah, not on the show. I know. It's good.
Yeah. So if I'm correct, you live in Ohio, so this could be a bit of a more fun one. Zach, how did you become a Pacers fan?
Well, I mean, kind of like most Pacers fans, man. I mean, it's just like your family is from Indiana, and it's just you grow up around that culture, and it's just like a bunch of diehard Pacers fans around you. It's just it's hard to not be a Pacers fan, you know? So I have family that's from Indiana. I've always loved the energy the team has. And I mean, other than PG's last year in Indiana, that was probably like the worst. But I mean, the conference final, cool to watch. And I just, yeah, growing up a Pacers fan, bro.
Yeah, you're at the ripe age where like you guys are a little too young for the Brawl era. And but you still got the fun parts of Granger and all that. I feel like that's a fun age to be a fan.
Yeah, it's definitely cool.
What was the first Pacers jersey you bought? I should ask everyone that. I wish I did that this whole time.
First Pacers jersey. Well, I mean, I had a Paul George jersey, but I don't have one anymore.
Hey.
But now the one I bought is a Hickory Miles jersey.
Okay. White or red?
I mean, I just love that movie. I mean, I just love the reason they wear it. And it's just cool. It's not the regular jerseys. So it just, I don't know, looks cooler.
Is it the white ones or the red ones?
It's red.
Nice. That's the better one to me. I don't love either of them, but as is customary, we follow in with the second question, which I've loved all the answers we've gotten so far. What is your favorite memory as a Pacers fan so far?
Favorite Pacers memory? Probably off the court, actually. One of the games I went to, it was probably like 3 or 4 years ago, I think. They played the Pistons, and my friend's dad got courtside seats from his work, and they knew I was like a big Pacer fan, so they took me. And when you're courtside, you can go under the seats, you know, where that like restaurant is in the back, I think.
Yeah.
And there's this, it was back when like Larry went to the games and stuff, so I snuck around the tunnel to the other side where he used to sit all the time, and I asked him if he could sign like the ticket that I had, which at the time was a Paul George ticket, so it was kind of a bad investment, but he was super nice about it. He signed it and he told me like enjoy the game, which I don't even remember the rest of the game because I was just in awe the whole time. It was crazy, but yeah, that was probably like my favorite memory in the Pacers stadium.
That's a good one. I remember when he would always sit with like various members of the executive staff because he was never like by himself. He was never against the fence, but he's always in that row with only like 4 or 5 seats in the corner over there. I remember.
Yeah.
One time he was with Pritch there this year, but I swear it was only one time. They never sit there anymore.
Yeah, they don't.
Do you have a favorite game or favorite on-court memory?
Probably one of the Cavs game last year I went to. I think it was either the third or fourth game they played. Probably whichever the one where – do you remember LeBron like stepped out of bounds, but he didn't think he stepped out of bounds, but it was like kind of like the same as Giannis kind of stepped out of bounds at the
– Yeah.
It was like one of those where it was like neck and neck all the way till the end, and it was just – crazy, everybody screaming, that Pacers energy, it was awesome. I remember we won by probably like 3 or 4, maybe, I don't even remember, but it was just crazy.
Did you get to talk crap to your friends? Are all your friends Cavs fans because Ohio?
Most of them, yeah. Like I have 2 or 3 friends that are just diehard Cavs fans, and I don't even talk to them when it comes to basketball. I just shrug my shoulders.
Well, we're going
to
be a lot better. The Pacers are going to be a lot better than the Cavs this year, so you can look for them.
Yeah, definitely.
Talking all the crap this year. All right, the best part of the show, if you ask me, not if you ask other people. What do you want to talk about? What Pacers topic do you want to talk about? Also, I just realized I have gum in, so sorry if I've been, like, choppy or you can hear it.
You're fine. So I think my question to you is, if Miles doesn't perform this year, do you think Domas is ready to be that modern shooting center, or – do you think like he's more of a power forward that can like shoot the mid-range kind of guy? Like, where do you think Domas is if he has to step up?
Yeah, that's a good question. And a lot of these questions have been about Domas and Miles, which I enjoy because, you know, that lets me know. And really, we all kind of know this anyway, that like that is the next thing for the team is like,
yeah,
how are those two going to fit, or how is that center situation going to shake out? I think Domas is already capable as a starting level center, not a good one, but he could already be a starter on some NBA teams. He's really smart. He knows the reads. He's really good at hitting guys on passes when they're doing back cuts on the baseline and stuff. You know, he's a good pick and roll player. He's a good rebounder. So I feel like he already is a starting level player, but for him to be like your full-time starter, I think he'd have to improve on the defensive end a lot, because outside of right around the basket, I don't think he has enough skills to really be like an anchor.
Yeah.
And that really hurts. I mean, there's very, very few centers who are just good at offense and can stay on the court. You know, DeMarcus Cousins is actually a good defender. Capella is actually a good defender. It's just a rare breed. Like Brooke Lopez comes to mind as an offensive guy who's not good at defense. And he can shoot. And Domas can kind of shoot, but he shot a low volume. So it's hard to say. So I think he could, if Miles, you know, for whatever reason, can't perform this year as a starter, I think he could do it. I just don't know how well it would work long-term versus in short spurts. I think he's better in mix-and-match groups and stuff like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, Domas is, like, super young, too. So, I mean, I don't know. Last year he did pretty good. He was way better than I thought he was going to be with the team. So,
well, what do you like about Domas? What makes you ask that question?
Domas, I mean, he's just – I mean, like I said, he's just so young. And the fact that, you know, he just so has such a good basketball IQ, like, with the pick and pop. And, like, I don't know. I just like the way he plays with the other guys around him, like Bojan and Vic and – Darren. So like when they run the two bigs, I think that's the most fun.
I didn't perfectly address your question though. I think he could work at the 4-2 just because he can shoot just enough. And he, you know, he's smart enough to be able to cut when he needs to and play the four. Like, I don't think on offense it'll ever be a problem for either of the two young bigs to play four and five. It's just defense is where, like, we preach this every show. You know, like, if either of them could ever defend away from the basket, then we would never have to talk about this again. But
yeah,
neither of them can do it. So, you know, it's always going to be a question of, like, who should start? Can they play together? You know, all that stuff. So, but I hope it's Domas who learns to defend in space. Although, I don't know if he ever will. He's probably spent his whole life, 22 years, just playing around the basket. So, who knows?
True.
All right, man. You got anything else?
No, man. That's it.
All right, guys, he's on Twitter again at Zach A. Pearson, Zach with an H, not a K, just so you know. Zach's a great follow, and his picture is not of him. Do not be deceived. but, yeah, give him a follow. He's always talking Pacers on Twitter. So thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, appreciate it.
Go follow Zach, guys. Great guy. I've had a good time interacting with him for a while. Next up is another person that I met at a game. We did an entire lap around Banker's life at halftime. Jordan Brandenburg, one of the original fans of the show, so I'm glad I was able to have him on. Well, the original fans of the show from when I started hosting with Adam. So really glad we got to have him on. So, yeah, here's Jordan. He's up next. All right, guys. Number two here, we have Jordan Brandenburg, who I have met before at a game. So unfair advantage of conversational chemistry here. like with Zach, who I'd also talked about before. He's on Twitter at JBGuitar2196. Jordan, man, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing peachy. It was a long, hot day at work today, so I'll get off and talk some Pacers.
You know how I know I had a better day than Jordan? Because I didn't have class today, and Jordan had class today.
Yeah.
Any other Ball State people need to hit you up on Twitter so you can do Pacers Ball State stuff. All right, so as we always do, the first question always is, Jordan, how did you become a Pacers fan?
So other than myself and like my parents and sister, immediate family, my entire family is actually from the Chicago area. And so with my dad growing up, he was like middle school, high school around Michael Jordan's prime. And so my name being Jordan isn't really a coincidence. He was the biggest MJ fan ever. And so it would have been like 2003. It was the last year MJ played. He brought me to a game. It was Pacers-Wizards, and he'd always really wanted me to see MJ play, and he wasn't a huge Bulls fan. He was just a big MJ fan, and so he had said, you know, hey, now that we're living in Indy and living in Indiana, would you want to be a Pacers fan? And I'm like, you know, for seven-year-old me getting to enjoy a basketball game and knowing that, you know, the guy you're named after is not going to be playing anymore, that seemed like a pretty good gig. So I just kind of fell in love with, like, that team and, like, the Jermaine O'Neal, and I know you're not a big fan, but Steven Jackson was my guy back in the day.
I don't dislike Steven Jackson.
Yeah, he was. So I mean, not necessarily the best era, I guess. In
there's the one.
Three, but I fell in love with that team, and I've been kind of stuck ever since.
That's a good story. MJ Wizards, I love love me some Washington Wizards. That's hilarious. The 03 Wizards. You know what's funny is Bulls Forever's doing a series on the Wizards, and they're doing a bunch of stuff from 03, actually, because it was Jordan's last year. I don't know if you've been reading any of it. And they just wrote one about how Jordan was the worst GM because they had an old GM on the way out, and Jordan was making all the roster decisions, and he did a terrible job, and that team stunk. It's pretty good.
Oh, my. I'm going to have to check that out. I did not know that.
Yeah, that would resonate with the Jordan dad and the story of the game. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that your favorite memory? You know, I always do the second question, too. Is that your favorite Pacers memory, or do you have a better one?
No, I do have a better Pacers memory.
Good.
So for those of you, I guess, who aren't a little bit older, it was around that same time, but we were going to a game, and my dad was scalping tickets for a game against the Hawks. And at that time, the Hawks' best player was Sharif Abdul-Rahim. So, like, you know, he was good, but the Hawks were not a very competitive team at that time. And so we're outside the stadium, and this guy offers him, like, maybe tickets in the 10th row, like really close to the court. And whatever price he asked, my dad was just like, nah, like that's way too high. And so this guy keeps pushing him, and he's like, nah, that's way too high. And this guy's like, yo, look, my cousin is Fred Jones, which for those of you that don't know, Fred Jones was the Pacers' first round pick in like the early 2000s and won a dunk contest too. Mm-hmm. But this guy's like, yo, I'm friends with Fred Jones. Right now, if you buy these tickets, I will get your son an autograph after the game. And my dad's just like, you know, all right. So he went ahead and did it. And it was a great game. Getting to be that close to the court as like a 9-year-old, 8-year-old was just incredible. And then sure enough, after the game, that same guy that sold us the tickets, he comes in, like comes down our row and it's just like, all right, just follow me. And that was the only time I've ever been in the tunnel. So I don't remember like the bits and pieces too well, but I just remember standing in some little like area with tables and chairs, and he kept walking while I waited there with my dad. And I come back and I've got a card autographed by Fred Jones. So I just wonder, maybe that guy had access down there and just walked around the corner and signed it himself and brought it right back. And, you know, who knows, but that always gave me a big, irrational love for Fred Jones and that era of the Pacers.
I need to get a Fred Jones pinstripe jersey because that picture of him doing the dunk contest in the blue pinstripe jersey always makes me smile. Like, that's such a cool thing.
I got one. I got one on eBay for like $10, $15.
Oh, okay. Wow.
They're floating around, yeah.
No, well, now that AliExpress is into basketball jerseys, my way to get cheap hoops jerseys is gone. I need to find a new one. It's been tough. That's a good story. I like that one. Fred Jones. I'm glad we had a Fred Jones story. We didn't have any Fred Jones stories yet.
Good.
That's a good one. And the last question, you already know it's coming. Everybody thinks of something for this, and a lot of them have the same theme, which is me laugh and excited because we're going to have to talk about it all the time this year. But what do you want to talk about the Pacers?
Yeah, so something I kind of thought of, because I know you and Adam have been talking about like bench depth and just kind of like what their weaknesses were on the last pod. But I guess just like, If you hypothetically were Nate McMillan, how would you foresee maybe the guard rotation going? Because I feel like the starters we have in Darren Collison, Victor Oladipo, Boyan, Thad, and Miles, I feel like that's pretty set. And even with the big man, you could substitute Thad out if you wanted to do Domas and Miles on the court at the same time sometime in the first quarter. Or, you know, put in TJ Leaf and slide Domas to the five, or if you want to do O'Quinn. But, like, with the guards and with there being Tyreke Evans in the mix, like, do you think it would be better subbing out Collison in the first and having him and Depo run the floor? Would you sub him out at the three for Boyan and have Collison, Depo, and Tyreke Evans all be on the floor for a little bit? I was kind of wondering what your opinions were on that.
That's a good question. So I did Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. And okay. It's important for fantasy to like know what guys are going to take a hit with their minutes. So he guessed that Corey Joseph would lose minutes because of Tyreke, and Tyreke can play 1, 2, 3. And then he also guessed that Thad would lose minutes because of what Nate said about Domas playing the four more, and that McDermott or Boyan could play up a little, which won't matter. But I mean, in theory, that could hurt his minutes. And I guess I never thought about Tyreke in that way, but it made me think about the guard rotation. But then, like a week later, I did a pod with Adam and Lazarus Jackson, the Detroit Bad Boys podcast, and we talked about the guard rotation. And I said that. I was like, oh, yeah, Corey Joseph's minutes will go down. Oh, no, was that this show? That was this show. I said Corey Joseph's minutes would go down.
Yeah.
Because that was this show. That's right. Because of Tyreke. And then Adam's like, no, what are you talking about? So I think I'm still going to go against Adam here. I think Corey Joseph's minutes are going to go down a little from last year because if they go with Tyreek Vick, I don't think they're going to go Tyreek at the three. I think they're going to go Tyreek one, Vick two, and then a shooter at the three because Pritchard's always preached the shooting and the floor spacing. He wants the stretch four, which isn't going to happen this year. But, you know, they just want that spacing, and I think they're going to pressure for it by having a three out there at all times who can shoot. So I think you'll get some Tyreek Vick for sure. So I think Collison probably plays about the same amount as the starter. And then Vick plays the same he plays as the starter. But then Tyreek plays Lance's role plus a few minutes at the one alongside Vick. And I think that makes more sense than Tyreek just playing straight Lance role or just not getting a ton of time with Vick because it makes no sense they would sign him to not help out with Vick. So my guess is Corey Joseph will take a small hit, and then everyone else is relatively the same. And then Aaron Holiday plays in garbage time, and Edmund Sumner plays every once in a while on accident. But I don't know. That actually is a good question because I could be wrong about that, but that's just my guess.
Okay. So
what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Just I think it's more likely that we see Tyreek playing at the one or the two than we do seeing him play at the three. I think he's better as a guard than as a wing. I just almost wonder if there would be any instances where Collison did get subbed out, but then they left Boyan and maybe the rest of the starters on the floor for a little bit, just because I feel like if you were to sub in, say, Tyreek for Collison and then McDermott for Boyan, then I feel like the defense is really getting hit there. I mean, I know McDermott's not the worst, but I would like to think that Boyan is still a better defender than McDermott is.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like it also depends what bigs they have on the floor, though, because
yes,
I feel like a lot of how much TJ Leaf is going to play this year is probably going to be his performance early on. And if they think that he's, you know, close to unplayable, then you're kind of stuck with more of Miles Sabonis and O'Quinn, who are good, but don't really mesh with that stretch four or anything whatsoever at all. Can't really stretch the floor a whole lot other than Miles shooting from deep. So, I am very intrigued to see kind of how McMillan handles those rotations.
Yeah, Lance can play the three a ton. And if Tyreek plays the Lance role, that's why I don't think he'll play the three a ton also. But he is a good perimeter defender. That's pretty much the only area he's a good defender. But he is a good perimeter defender, which means, you know, Corey Joseph's big thing is he's a great perimeter defender. So taking that, you know, not losing that much of that of best strength doesn't really kill the team so much that I would be uncomfortable having him take a few minutes. But I hate that because I like Corey Joseph. So
I don't know.
That's going to be interesting to see. And if Aaron Holiday is actually good, that could shake up everything. But you know how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good question. And I do think it depends on the bigs. That's true as well. The less spacing they have, the more likely they are to have, like, Collison out there, you know, so they can have that the spacing. That's a good question.
And I guess going with that is that if Leaf wasn't playing and they wanted more spacing, like, you could almost do you think you could have Boyan and McDermott on the floor at the same time? Like, that would be like a death lineup, but as far as your defense, that would be death on defense.
That's what I was going to say. It depends who the other team's power forward is, or small forward, because I think both of them can do okay in the post on D, but neither of them can do great on the perimeter. So, I think that's what it comes down to. If it's like a slower three, maybe you can get away with it, but yeah, that would be hard. And that would be a fun group. I don't know who they'd put at center, probably Miles for the spacing, but yeah, maybe I'll write about that. Thank you, Jordan. I like that idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a good question. You got anything else? You want to promote your own Twitter or anything today?
Nah, I guess if I'll do one promotion, I'll just if you're ingrained in Pacers Twitter or a longtime listener of Locked On Pacers, then I would definitely recommend maybe checking out the Pacers Reddit, their subreddit, which is just /Pacers. That's actually kind of what got me ingrained in NBA Twitter, and how I found about the podcast was through that. So definitely check that out if you're wanting to learn more about the Pacers.
You know what's funny is I don't participate in Pacers Reddit, and I feel like I should. I think it'd be fun.
I feel like you should too, because your articles get posted there quite a bit.
Do they really? That scares me.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay.
No, I mean it's good, but yeah, it'd be cool to have the that artist perspective, you know, or not author.
That makes me want to avoid it. I don't know. I like that though. Well, Jordan, thanks for coming on. Jordan has probably been the longest listener of me and Adam that I know of. He tweeted at us like over a year ago saying he listens to us every morning. So I'm really glad you could come on, man. I appreciate it.
Me too, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Really enjoyed talking to Jordan. Liked his stories. Liked meeting him before. Really enjoyed having him on the show. It was just overall great time with Jordan. Last one here is from Martel, whose last name I forget, and I should have pulled it up before I did this cut, so I'm just going to keep talking and talking until I find his last name. We have Martel Haskins at m.himhot on Twitter. We talked for a long time. We got a lot of topics here. We got some great stories about working in Bankers Life Fieldhouse. We got LeBron James autographs coming up. We got some great stories. So stick around for the last fan on the last fan show, and then we'll get you out of here. All right, guys, the last fan on the last fan show. I had to get him on because he always is talking to me on Twitter. At m.himhot, he goes by Martel. How are you, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to be on. I've been listening to the podcast starting around last season, so it's exciting, man.
Yeah, I'm glad we can have people who listen on because it makes me feel more connected to the people listening. But I'm glad you were the last one because I feel like you're going to have a good story on why you became a Pacers fan.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, and I think it's pretty unique. Whenever you're ready for me to go ahead and tell it, just let me know.
That would be right now, sir.
All right. Well, I'm from what people from this area call the region, which is Northwest Indiana. You know where that is.
Crown Point area?
I'm originally from Gary, the home of the original Glenn Robinson.
Freddie Gibbs.
Then I moved out to Dyer, Indiana, where my brother actually went to school with Glenn Robinson III. They were pretty good friends. He used to come by my mother's house and everything before he made it to the NBA. So, but the way up north, if people don't know, most people up here are Chicago fans because this is known as Chicagoland. All we get is Bulls games, Bears games on the TV. All of my uncles and fathers, they were all Bulls fans because I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 34. So I'm probably a decade older than you. That was when Jordan was winning all his titles. So everybody up here is a Bulls fan. And I think my personality, I don't like the status quo. I don't like to do what everybody else is doing. So I didn't jump on the bandwagon. Plus, I was too young to really know what's going on. But, you know, I remember reading Reggie Miller's book. It's one of the first books I remember reading. And I remember his story about him being in braces and not being able to walk. And, you know, I remember watching him when I was younger in the playoffs. And I remember the Spike Lee episode and the 8.9 seconds episode. And I began to be intrigued by him. And plus, when I played ball, I was a good shooter. Like, that's all I could do was shoot. So I kind of like Reggie, and he was different. Yeah, and so, you know, I became a Reggie Miller fan. And when it really happened was the 98 playoffs against the Bulls. And I remember sitting there with my uncles and everybody's cheering for the Bulls. It was game six, I think. And Reggie had like an ankle sprain. And it was the push-off against Jordan. And I called it out. I was like, this is what's going to happen. He's going to come off the screen. He's going to hit a three, and Jordan's face is going to be game. And then it happened. And from there, I've just been a fan. And after that, I went to college at IUPUI. So I moved down to Indianapolis. I actually got to work for, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, but it was in Bankers Life Fieldhouse, one of the in-seat servings. And that was pretty cool because I would get to work early so I could go down low and watch Reggie shoot. Ron Artest used to come up and talk to me, which was pretty crazy. Yeah, I could tell something was wrong with him. He was a little off. I used to take out the garbage at the end of the shift and get to meet players and stuff like that. So after that, you know, I went to IUPUI and I was working down there in Indianapolis. I stayed there for probably about 10 years. And I became a member of Area 55. I think it was either the first or the second season. But I got to do like two seasons. I became a member of Area 55 when they got to go against the Heat. That was just intense. And I think that locked in my fandom for life. You know what I mean? Experiencing that. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Being a member of Area 55. Then I moved back up here for a job. And I would have to get off work, go down to the games for Area 55, come back up and go right back to work. But, I mean, I couldn't do it now, but I loved it at the time. So that's kind of where it all started. And I'm a ride or die, man. I'm riding with this team for the rest of my life. I love where they're at right now, too.
Area 55 is a good throwback. Who do you think the player sections are going to be this year? Vic's getting one for sure, but I don't know who the other one's going to be.
Vic is going to get one because he's solid and he's locked in.
Turner's
block. I could see them giving Sabonis or Tyreek Evans one.
I think Sabonis is a good shot of getting one of the corners. I think they too.
You don't think Tyreek Evans?
I don't know. It's going to be one of those two. Yeah. But it's hard because Tyreek hasn't played a game yet, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how much I like him.
That's one of the things that I'm really intrigued. Like, how, to me, people keep saying if Turner has a big year, you know, that's big for us and that's going to determine where we end. And I agree with that. But I think how Tyreek and Vic work out is going to be the key, you know, because I think they're going to be the ones that at the end of the games on the court, both your playmakers, both your scorers. I really want to see how that works out.
So we'll skip the memory question until the end because we're already doing the topic. But this is good because I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think Tyreek's going to be in the closing lineup, or do you think they'll do what they did last year when Nate just does it by situation every game?
I feel like I'm a Tyreek Evans expert. I just got through watching the Grant Assef where he broke down like just too much stuff about him. I've been watching YouTube videos of him all year. I think he has to. You know, it depends. Regular season, maybe not, but you want to practice it in the regular season for the playoffs. We don't have anybody on our team besides Victor Oladipo who can create a shot at a supreme level.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's why we paid Tyreek $12 million to come here for 1 year. So I see him being in at the end of the games. Now, will they use him at the one or Vic at the one or him at the three? I think that's where it gets interesting.
I agree. That's such the person before you didn't get to hear this, asked about the guard rotation, and I was struggling to, like, it's hard to put it together perfectly. I don't know who's going to lose minutes for Tyreek. Someone's going to. But I said, I don't think he'll ever play the three because they want to space the court. You know, they want to have that shooter out there at the three. So I think he's going to play the one in the closing lineups. But I think you're right. I think he is going to be on the court every time.
Yeah, I think they'll take turns with him and Vic bringing the ball up. Yep. Depending on the matchup, if they want to use Vic off the ball or they want Vic to be the initiator just bringing it up. But, I can't wait. I'm so tired of watching YouTube videos. I'm ready for the season to begin.
You know what I think is going to be cool, too, is that Tyreek spent a lot of time off ball in his career. Like, after he was a rookie in Sacramento and was rookie of the year, in New Orleans he was off ball kind of a bit. Early in the year in Memphis when Conley was healthy, he was off ball a bit. Vic's only been off ball the 1 year with Russ. So I feel like Reek would be better to be the guy off ball if they do.
Yeah. I agree with that. And plus, it's Vic's team. You know, you don't want a guy to come in and have a ball more than you do. So, no, I agree with that 100%.
Man, that's going to be interesting. That's a good topic. I like that. Good job. Now we'll jump back to it. Do you have a favorite memory from your time being a fan of the team?
Oh, man, I got so many memories. when I used to work at the – I got a couple of them. I'll go through them real quick.
Okay.
When I used to work for the Pacers for that in-seat serving. I can't remember the name of the restaurant to save my life. I've been thinking about it all day. But I actually got LeBron James' autograph his rookie year.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Like I said, I used to take out the garbage at night to sneak down there so I could, you know, get to where the players were and everything. And I got his autograph his rookie year. I know that's not Pacers, but it was working for Banker's Life. That was pretty cool. The year I worked there was Reggie Miller's last year, and I got to see the whole retirement ceremony and everything. So, I mean, for me being a fan of Reggie since I was a young boy and not even being from Indianapolis, to get to see that was pretty cool.
That is a good one. Those are both good ones. That's awesome. Rookie LeBron, that's crazy that his first year was Reggie's last year.
I wish I would have known what LeBron was going to be worth because I have no idea what that autograph is.
What did he sign? Do you remember what he signed?
I had a yellow and blue FUBU jacket that I used to wear to all the games because, I mean, when it was cold outside. And so I would just get the players to, if I ran across them, just sign it. So it was a signature with a lot of different signatures.
Okay. Cut it out, you know.
I have no idea what that code is, and that sucks. Somebody probably stole it, but it is what it is.
That's a good one. I need a LeBron James autograph. That would change my outlook on life. That's a good one. You got any more? You said you need a couple. You got any more?
I mean, the Malice in the Palace. I can remember where I was at.
Oh, we all do. We all do.
I was in college. I was at Indianapolis. I was having some drinks. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and it sucked so bad because I think we were going to win a championship that year. I think we won like 60 games the year before, and then we blew the Pistons out. But that memory I'll never forget. The Paul George dunk on Birdman. Yeah. I remember being with my boy and like he's a star now. Like I think that's the night he got the stripper pregnant. Like, I really do. I think that's wow. The night.
Some people probably don't know that are listening. That's kind of
yeah, but oh, I'm sorry, but to expose. But if no, you Google it, yeah, he got a stripper.
He's not here anymore. So.
Yeah, but those are the only ones I can think of offhand.
You know what my favorite Paul George memory is? Just random. I saw it today is why I'm bringing it up. Is when he pulled up from the logo and like made everybody back up with his hand and just canned it.
Oh, yeah.
40. I was like, oh my gosh, that was so sick. Yeah. Better than 360 in game. Those are both just so nasty.
You know the crazy thing is Paul George would be the perfect player for us right now.
I know. Everybody's talking about that all year. Like, if he wants to come back, would you have him? Have people are like, no way. I'm like, what are you talking about?
He would be the perfect. We would be in the finals if we can get Paul.
He would be a great fit.
Yeah, plus Vic is the leader, so you don't have to worry about him not being a leader. So yeah. And Vic may be the greatest leader in this franchise history when it's all said and done.
Oh man, that'd be great. This Miami thing is cool that they're all down there together.
I remember waking up that morning because I feel like I'm becoming a super fan now. And looking at Miles turning Instagram and it's saying Miami and Vic. And then when I seen that, I was like, oh, he got him in Miami. Then I saw Tyreek's and then I saw Vic all in Miami. So that was pretty cool.
That was cool. I saw Sabonis with McDermott was the first one I saw. I was like, what are they doing together? And then, because they didn't have their location, they were just hanging out. Uh-huh. And then I saw Turner. So I was like, oh man, they're all in Miami, aren't they? That's crazy. Everybody, sort, I don't know if Agnes had this in there. Everybody was there except for Bojan. Bojan's in Europe. That sucks. I wish he was there. My guy.
That's your guy.
I don't know why I like him so much, but I just like watching him.
I like him too, man. That 30-point game, I was supposed to go to that game, and I didn't go, and I'm so mad. But that 30-point game, man, it showed a lot. That took a lot of gusto.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of his. It kind of makes me think about Doug McDermott because my plan for the Pacers in my mind and how I play on 2K is keep Bogey and bring him off the bench and replace him with a starting – defender, you know, 3-and-D type,
like
small
next forward. Year or like during this season?
Well, next year.
Okay, yeah.
You know, just thinking about the future. I would like Bogey to be the guy off the bench. But now that they got Doug McDermott locked up for 3 years, that's probably not gonna happen. What do you think Doug McDermott is gonna become?
I think the backup three will be what he does at the start of the year, but you know, they were talking about getting a stretch four. And I don't know how they're going to do it with, like, Kevin Leaf and O'Quinn and trying to play Sabonis and Turner together. But I think they're going to try him at the four a little bit just to have that level, that extra level of spacing and shooting. And I think he's better defending power forwards than small forwards. So I think they're going to try it. I just don't know how well it'll work. And it depends who he's next to.
Yeah, I don't know how. I know when I first heard about the Doug McDermott news, I was actually in Indianapolis at Brothers. It's probably a little intoxicated, but I was like,
what? It like it's 11 p.m.
God. Yeah, because I was watching the TV waiting for the first. I think that was like the first thing that broke and my phone was buzzing like crazy. But I didn't like it a lot at first. I'm like, the guy's been on a bunch of teams in the last 2 or 3 years. But I do trust Pritchard. I trust the moves that he's making. I can kind of see his vision. It doesn't seem like he's in a rush, you know, and I kind of like that. So,
yeah, I think it'll work out. I think they just wanted shooting. So
yeah,
you got anything you want to plug before you get out of here?
I'll plug one thing. I'm on a podcast with a couple of my friends. It's not a Pacers podcast. I've been trying to get one of those going for a while, but it's called the Al and Powell Show. You can find it on Google Play, anywhere podcasts are played. The Al and Powell Show. I'll plug that. Other than that, man, it's just looking forward to the next season. I know you had a topic where fans could talk about some things. They yep. wanted you to talk about. I had one of those. Whenever
go for it. Yes, go for it.
Okay, so I got two of them. So I heard you all with the guy from the Bad Boys podcast.
Yes, Laz.
Kind of sticking with the tone of worst case scenarios and the bad things that could happen. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think about is we won so many games late in the games. Like, you know, I don't have the stats in front of me. We won a lot of close late games. And we also won a lot of games where Lance just came in. And his energy alone helped bring us back to be able to win those games. My thing is this season, or my fear will be, that those things go back to the mean and we don't win as many of those close games, or the three or four games that Lance probably won just coming in with his energy alone, you know, will we lose a lot of those games or miss out on them and maybe not get to the 48-50 wins that everybody's thinking of?
Yeah, so this is hilariously lucky, but I was actually looking at some clutch stuff today. And so 2 years ago, when they didn't have Lance for almost the whole year, the year they won 42, they had 8 wins by 5 or less points and 7 losses. And then last year, they had 17 wins by 5 or less points. So you're absolutely right that, you know, something they did at the end of games worked really well. They were able to squeak games out. And Lance, you know, like you said, the Toronto game that me and Adam were at in November, the Detroit game in December, he won them those games. Like, there are certain scenarios where Lance is the guy that takes over those games. You hope that Tyreek in that role would do the same thing, but you're right that it's an energy thing with Lance. You know, when he's at home, Banker's life is rocking. Even when they're down 10, they cut it to 9 or something, you know, it's crazy. So I think that is going to matter, but the number of times that I feel like Lance led the comeback and it was at home in the fourth quarter was only like 2 or 3. So it's really only 2 or 3 games, you know, that you lose that impact, and you hope that Tyreek can mimic it. And I get why he could not because of the, you know, the Lance vibe, but you know that I feel like that's not going to be that many games versus last year, if that makes sense.
You know what, that does make sense, and it probably is 2 or 3, but it creates such an emotional memory. It seems like it's more. I was at that Toronto game, man, and that may be one of my favorite Pacers games I've ever been to in my life. When he had Jeff Teague going crazy, which Jeff Teague didn't have a heartbeat the whole season. But I hope you're right, and I hope Tyreek's skill set, maybe we won't be in those moments. The other question that I have, I don't know if it's a question or a statement. One player that I look at who I believe that'll be a really good fit for us that I don't think I hear a lot of people talking about is Harrison Barnes. I think he's a free agent at the end of this season. I think he's a solid defender. He's a solid shooter. He's a long wing that can defend players like Tatum, Ben Simmons, maybe not shut them down, but he has the body type to defend those guys. And he'll be a good 2 or 3 third option as far as scoring. I want to know, what do you think about that?
I do like Harrison Barnes. I don't like his current contract, but I think his next one's going to be better / more fair because they got him in restricted free agency. So a guy who used to write at 8 points, 9 seconds, he might still, he hasn't posted in a long time, named Liam Monroe, was writing about why they should trade for him this summer because he agreed with you, and he made me look into it. And I like that he can play both forward spots. I think I totally agree with you. He could be that second or third option. He's, you know, a 15-plus point per game score. I think he's almost at 20 last year.
Yeah.
So I think he'd fit really well. I wish he could shoot a little better from three because the Warriors really inflated the openness of his looks and how good he was as a shooter. He was below average the last 2 seasons, but I do agree with you because he can defend pretty well that would be a great fit as a combo forward kind of guy next summer. I like that a lot, actually.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been thinking about him for a while. He's another one of my 2K plugins I did. So.
I spelled his name wrong. Does his contract expire this summer or next? You know what I mean? Like 1 summer from now or 2 from now?
I think that this is the last year of his contract. Right? I actually meant to look it up, but I didn't.
He's a player option next summer. That's what it is.
So that'll be interesting. He'll probably keep that player option for what he's getting paid.
$25 million.
Yeah, he's not turning that down. He's not turning that down.
Well, we'll see. That's a good one, though. I like that one.
Yeah.
At 26, well, maybe, you might have to. I don't know.
Maybe we could trade for him.
Yeah. Find a way. The Mavs want to suck, and he's not helping them suck.
My biggest fear is that we have Bogdanović and Doug McDermott to guard Ben Simmons and Jason Tatum. And we have to get some athletic 3-4 type of guy who can guard and who can shoot decently. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, I do. Tyreek is actually a pretty good perimeter defender, so I think he can cover some of that. But that'll hurt his offense because he'll be trying so hard on deep.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be interesting.
It is. I like those topics. All right. That again, for those of you that missed it or I said it too fast at the beginning, his Twitter is m.himhot. His name is TellDaTruth31. Got to follow him. Tweets a lot about the Pacers. Do you have any other social media you want people to know about?
No, I'm not a big social media person. Like I said, I'm 34. Most of the time on Twitter, I'm trolling or if I see a comment about the Pacers or I vent when I watch games. So you don't have to follow me. I like following other people and, you know, seeing how they feel about it.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
And that is the end of the fan shows, guys. So I hope you enjoyed them.